Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome into the Labatt Blue Studio. It's time for the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. Got that, Bob?
I plan on doing my fair share this summer of trying to, you know, accommodate one of our sponsors.
Very good. That's the voice of Bob Flounders. I'm Jim Galante, sitting in for Andrew P. Shea this week. Our buddy Ross will be joining us shortly.
I guess that means Ross is going to pick on one of us since Andy's not here, so I don't know who it's going to be.
I'm kind of hoping you.
It probably will be me.
Since I write his check.
I was going to say, I think by default, I'm the guy. I can suck it up for a week.
I'll tell you.
Get well soon, Andy, wherever you are.
And get back soon. All right. Well, since I'm sitting in for Andrew P. this week, I thought we would do a couple things a little bit different today.
Yep.
We'll do a couple of our standard things. Of course, first here in quarter number one, we're going to catch up on news and notes. There's a few of them from this week. And of course, in quarter number three, we're going to have our Ask Ross segment, as we always do. But quarter number two and quarter number four, a little bit different. For Tucker's Tape, we are going to look into this Penn State offense called the RPO. I think a lot of people aren't quite sure what all of that means. We know it's run pass option, but I'd like to dig a little deeper. I'm a layperson. I didn't play football. I'm hoping Ross can answer all my questions.
So this is an everyman segment, a Penn State everyman segment.
It's,
I got it.
It's the everyman, which I represent. Hi, Ross.
Hello, Jim. How are you?
I'm pretty good. That's the voice of Ross Tucker, who just came in to join us nice and early today.
Yeah.
So you ready to handle some of the news with us?
Let's do it.
All right. And then I was just wrapping up what we're going to be talking about today. And in quarter number four, someone near and dear to you, Ross, a young gentleman by the name of Steven Zvitko. Did I get that right, Steven? Pretty much. I guess that means I got at least close.
Passable.
Steven not only is an intern for Ross, but he is also a member of the Penn State Blue Band, which I find...
Which is way more important, by the way.
And way more
and way cooler, yeah.
And much less that personal hell that it must be to be your intern. But anyway, so we're going to be able to talk to Steven, and he's also a communications major at Penn State, which means he'll be taking one of our jobs shortly, right?
You know what's funny too is talking with him, you know, I've always loved the Blue Band. Like everybody loves the Blue Band, but I never really thought about like what goes into being a part of it, what the practices are like, and even what it's like to come out of the tunnel before the game for like a whiteout. I mean, it's pretty unbelievable. It's pretty awesome if you think about it.
What's funny is Steven got here a few minutes ago, and that was one of the first things that I brought up with him. What's it like to walk out in front of 100,000 people? So instead of stealing the thunder, we'll talk to Steven about it, and he can answer the question.
And it's so funny, too. Like, I know you could, Jim, but like, in my head, I don't even know what the songs are named.
Yeah.
And I don't know like when they play, but it's like, like I just have, like for years, I just had these like ingrained in my head. I feel like if I was friends with a guy in the Blue Band, I'd be real annoying. I'd be like, especially if they had their instrument, I'd be like, no, I need you to go play.
But you know what, though?
Are there even words to these? I don't even know the words. I
just we'll ask that question.
Save it, Ross. Save it.
But I'll tell you what, that's one of the things that makes college football, I think, better than the NFL or more interesting is things like having the band. But anyway, it's quarter number one, which means we are supposed to be talking news and notes. So let's get back to that. First thing on my notes here, Bobby Flo, is Ellison Jordan, who either is or is not going to continue with Penn State, is or is not going to medically retire. What's the scoop?
I don't know. I mean, there was some very cryptic, I think, social media tweets on Twitter from him it sure sounded like he was about to step away from the program, and then Penn State issued a statement, something about he was concerned about mental health. It's a big deal, and we support him. Lions 247 reported that he was going to no longer be with the team, and they have not kind of backed away from that. So I think this is a situation that is still kind of being resolved. I don't know that there's been any clarity yet. His status, Penn State usually would say if he's no longer with the team, they would kind of confirm that. I think it's very much up in the air. I don't know how much he was going to contribute or will contribute if he remains on the team. There's a lot of talented defensive linemen on the roster, but yeah, that just kind of came out of nowhere. And I think you're just going to have to wait until August practices begin to really figure out if he's still on the team.
And the bigger issue to me with all this is it again brings up just that vague questions about Penn State's handling of injuries.
Right.
And this comes after the Tommy Stevens injury, which, again, sure, we don't get enough information.
Correct.
So our impression is, gee, something got botched or screwed up the first time around with Tommy Stevens, and they had to redo it.
Yeah.
And then you have things, I know it's going back a few years, but Adam Brenneman, who retired medically, couldn't play anymore. Mm-hmm. And the next thing we know, he's in uniform at UMass.
Correct. Yeah, it is. It's an unfortunate part of the business, really. And it's also worth noting that Penn State has made a change, in its team doctor. It's Wayne Sebastianelli. The old doctor is back. I kind of in the position. I'm blanking on the guy that held the job. Scott Lynch, excuse me, who had been there for several years. And you just wonder, is that a coincidence, or is there a reason why they made that change?
Well, I'm just thinking, I mean, the Eagles, another team I follow closely, they're on their third medical doctor in 3 years. Now, I think they made changes after the Super Bowl year, and I think they knowingly hired a guy last year on a temporary basis so that they could look for a long-term solution, which they've now found. But those are very real conversations, and there are people that believe that there are competitive advantages and disadvantages to have with medical staff.
I'm sure there is, but being outside the program, we've got to be careful when you touch this to make assumptions that
something questionable happened. Yeah, that's why I use the word coincidence.
Yeah, you just don't know what's really going on, and if there really is an issue.
Well, we get no information.
Yeah, well, when Tommy,
we get literally no information.
Yeah, but so when Tommy Stevens says something about an issue that wasn't done right the first time, I think it's fair to at least talk about it.
There's
a pretty strong indicator there that he was not happy about. It's a pretty good assumption that it was Penn State who handled the original issue.
But I suspect if you talked either to the medical staff or Penn State people and they were being candid and were open and telling us, they'd probably tell us a little bit different story.
I'm sure they would, but that will not be happening.
Anyway, you are listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Let's get into something a little more positive here, Bob. Phil Steele,
yes,
who I think has the best...
Revered. I would say revered, sure.
He came out with his all Big Ten, first team, second team, third team, fourth team.
That guy is a 16. Total psychopath and has no life.
The prep work that guy must do.
I love him for it. I love psychos like that.
Yeah.
Phil Steele's a psycho.
We've had him on every year.
I think I made ninth team all Big Ten this year.
I just got done saying I was seventh team all Big Ten kicker, by the way. And I do, yes, I do have another year of eligibility.
I almost feel like was Michael Mennett fourth team?
Yes.
Look, he's got the list right there, yeah.
So I wonder, like, does that make you feel good or bad?
Yes.
I mean, good, I guess, that they think you're the fourth out of how many centers in the Big Ten? 14?
14.
Fourth out of 14? Yeah, I mean, I guess that makes you feel good.
Yeah, but a couple of them left, so the pool is probably a little bit more shallow.
There's probably like seven returning starters.
14.
So it's like you are actually below average of the seven returning starters.
I think Phil needs to cap it at three. I think really it's the right thing to do.
But I think we should at least mention that Etor Gross Matos, Micah Parsons were each first team. I think it talks of the quality of the defense this year coming up.
Yeah, you know, it's always interesting to me. I always am kind of surprised that, like, there aren't more of them, Bob. And I think that's because there's a lot of conferences. Like, I was in the Ivy League, which has eight teams. There's a big difference between eight teams and 14 teams. You know, like, so it's like, you see Penn State, like, last year, it's like a couple guys even made any of the teams.
Right, right.
You know?
I do think that you're talking about two guys that, if they continue to develop, they're first-round picks in the NFL. I mean, it would take an injury or something to derail those guys, because for Micah to play that way as a first-year player, and for Etor to do what he did last year and to look at him now. There's some other guys, I think, that on the second and third teams have a chance to be by the end of the year to kind of – they might be a little bit better than Phil thinks.
Well, I think it's worth mentioning your man crush, Cam Brown, was third team, mm-hmm. as was K.J. Hamler.
Yeah.
Let's move on. There's two quick quotes that I want to put out. I don't know if both of these came from Wednesday in Hershey. I know one of them did. James Franklin mentioned that he is proud of Micah Parsons. And the other quote was Juwan Sider, running back coach, talking about C.J. Holmes. He mentioned, well, he may be making a move to the defense, which to me is a kiss of death as far as being a running back.
It's the more significant quote by far. When you didn't hear much about him in spring and in winter, and you look at who Penn State brought in their freshman class and Devin Ford, and another one of my crushes, Noah Cain. There's just no room at the inn, and if they're going to move him, I mean, it's the next step towards, I think, maybe him taking a long, hard look as to whether he just wants to be a team guy at Penn State and have a shot maybe in his final year to do something or maybe go someplace else.
But there is precedent for running backs moving to defensive backs and ending up in the NFL, isn't there?
There is. There absolutely is. Nick Scott would be one. Troy Apke, wide out to defensive back. So it's just another conversion. They're very athletic players, but I just think that he's already transferred once, and now he's already kind of the position he wanted to play. They're looking at him another position. You just have to wonder, Russ.
Yeah. Once you start to go down that road, the amount of guys that have had success – it's not real high. It's not, you know, but the flip side is I look at it like, well, if you're not going to play it one position, you might as well.
Yeah.
You might as well take your shot.
And I think it speaks of your man crush, Noah Cain, your man crush, Ross Devin Ford. Mm-hmm. You add those two to what you have already returning. It's a pretty good running back room.
But unproven, so we'll see.
We'll see. All right, that's it for quarter number one. Quarter number two, we're going to talk all things RPO.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.